Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Waiting on Christmas, and this week Pastor Josh encourages us to worship fervently, give extravagantly, and love ridiculously, because love has a name and he's waiting on us. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Rock Church. You guys doing all right today? Good? Good. Hey, I want to just welcome you here today. My name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors, and all right, I'm going to hang out over here a little bit. Y'all need to get some energy on that side of the room, okay? So, anyway, really glad you guys are here today. And if you're a guest with us, thank you so much, all right? I know there's a lot of things you could do on a Sunday morning, but you've chosen to come out and hang out with us here at church, and just really excited about that and hope you have a great experience. I do want to give a shout out. I know we have some people watching online right now and some people at our C3 Coffee Bar in Conway. So we all give it up for them. So glad that you guys are with us. And hey, just as we begin, I got to just give you just a little just exciting news about our Las Vegas campus. If you're new with us, we have campuses throughout Horry County, and we also have one in Las Vegas. And this week, they were actually able to get in to our own facility for the first time ever. So cool. We've opened up a C3 coffee bar there. We kind of planted that church like we did our coastal campus. So this week, they opened the coffee bar up. Last Sunday night, they had service, church service there for the first time, and then they'll do that again tonight. So they've had a great kind of, if you call it, soft opening of the coffee bar. A lot of people coming in, hanging out. So just continue to pray about what is going on in Las Vegas and what God is doing at all of our campuses. So some exciting stuff there. All right. So we're in this series. If you weren't here last week, we launched a series called Waiting on Christmas. And with this idea of waiting on Christmas, we're going into what is called the Advent. And the Advent simply means to wait on an arrival. And last week, we kind of talked about it from this angle. We talked about love, and we lit a candle representing the idea of waiting on love. And joy, all right? We talked about joy last week. This week, we're talking about love. So I'll light a candle about love, all right? So last week, we talked about joy. This week, we're talking about love. And we talked about it last week a little bit, that the month of December, the Christmas holiday, is all about, like, maybe you could call it the month of joy. I want to also say, though, in the month of December, that December is the month of love. Now, I know a lot of times we think February is the month of love. But for many people, February is not a month they love, okay? And it's also just a month where you celebrate one day of love. Yet in December, it's like a whole month of things that we love, or things that we desire or want, right? Like if you think about it, like you love lighting the Christmas tree for the first time. You love getting together for the Christmas holidays at different times and at different parties. You love going out and looking at Christmas lights. You love baking and spending time. You love maybe getting presents or giving presents. Or you have a hope, as a parent I know this, that we hope that they're going to love are present, all right? The other thing that we find in the month of December, the reason I might call it the month of love, is more people get engaged in the month of December than any other time of the year, all right? Just curious, raise your hand. Who here got engaged in the month of December, all right? Anybody with me? Come on, raise them high. Am I all alone? Okay, you guys, all right? So statistically, they say that. For me and my wife, it was actually 28 years ago yesterday that I asked her to be my wife, okay? And she's still with me today. So God is a miracle-working God, all right? But but it's just a month of love. And I remember when I asked her to marry me, I bought that ring. It was a little ring. I was a college student. And I remember it was like burning a hole in my pocket. So I wouldn't carry it around. Like I had a weekend ministry that I would travel to, and that was at Krista's home church. And I remember I was going home for the weekend, going to that church to do work, and she was going to be there. And I was like, oh, should I take the ring with me? I'm like, no, I got to wait for Christmas. I got to give it as a present. So I left it in my college dorm. But I got home that weekend, and we're hanging out. I'm like, I can't wait any longer. I can't wait. I got to do it. So I was like, babe, hey, let's drive to where my school is. I got to get some books. I forgot an assignment I have to do, which was 2.5 hours away. So we drove to Cincinnati, Ohio. I went into my dorm room, got the ring, and then we enjoyed a nice dinner, went to a place called the Church of the Steps, beautiful Catholic church that overlooks Cincinnati. Great place to go and hang out with your girlfriend. And just kiss and stuff like that. But anyway, but that night we went there and we're sitting there, and I obviously she knew something was up, and I made her a little promise. I said, babe, I don't know where in the world we're going to live in life. I'm going to be in ministry all my life. I can't promise you a lot of great things. I don't know what our finances will look like. I don't know anything. But I can promise you that we'll chase God forever, and I'll love you forever. Will you be my wife? And then, oh, yeah, see, at that moment, y'all get endeared to me. But in that moment, then, you know, obviously I'm waiting. I'm like, okay, please, you know. And obviously she said yes, and it's been 28 years since then. But I was waiting. And I was wishing on love. And I really believe that that's something that all of us do. I think that we wait and we wish on love during this season. And for some of us, we've found it in certain things and certain people and hopefully in God. But others of us are still waiting and wishing on love. That's what we do. Another perfect illustration to prove that we all desire to love and to be loved is simply think about your pets for a second. Like, some of you are crazy with your pets. Like, I don't know who these Instagram pets are, except this is, it's Doug the Pug. He has almost 4 million followers. You got Real Grumpy Cat, which is good because I hate cats, but this cat has almost 3 million followers, 2.7, all right? This Jif the Palm, okay, has almost 10 million followers. That's crazy. It's crazy what we do. And admit it, some of you are here, you put your dog in clothes. Some of you here put your dog in like little like baby carriages and push them down the road. I had somebody at church Thursday night said that they have a guinea pig that they put in a tutu. And I'm just like, y'all weird. And some of you are like, yeah, that's me. Call me out right now. Go ahead and admit it, all right? That we do these things with our pets just because we want to love them, all right? And I was making fun of these pets. I was talking to somebody in the coffee bar actually about this. And I said, we want love so much that we treat our pets like their kids. And she goes, yep, that's my bacon. Lady's name, her name was Ashley. She said, yeah, I'm guilty, all right? And Ashley, she has a Instagram for her dog, Beach Bum Bacon, all right? And now, some of you have met Bacon. I don't know if any of y'all in here have met Bacon. Bacon is one cool dog, all right? He was kind of like the mascot for the coastal campus for a long time. But we want love so much that sometimes that's how we'll find it, even in our pets, all right? And my challenge is this. If you're waiting and wishing for love, that you don't have to go any other place except for God. If you're waiting and wishing on love, let me give you some hope today. Let me give you something that'll bring you some joy today, some peace today, is that you can find love in Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait anymore. Sorry to scare you like that, Tom. You don't have to wait anymore. Jesus has arrived, and he is love. Well, let's talk about this for a second, okay? Let's talk about what that really means. And we can do so by looking at a guy named Simeon. All right? Simeon is a guy that we read about in the book of Luke, which is in the Bible. And Simeon was a guy who was waiting on love. He was waiting for love to arrive. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 2. It says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. All right, there's a lot said right there, right? Simeon was righteous, meaning he was living a right life towards God. That he was devout, meaning he was devoted to God. Two things that we should all be looking to put into our lives. A way of living right with God and a way to be devoted to God. Continuing on, it says he was waiting on the arrival of the Messiah. He was waiting on the arrival of the promised one who would come and rescue. Let me keep going. And the Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Let me take just a minute. Let me kind of break down this verse for a second, because there's a lot being said in this verse right here, all right? And I want to make it just as simple, just as plain as possible, because I know some of us come from a church background, but there's many of us here who don't come from a church background. So if you look at this, Sovereign Lord, all he's saying there is God who's in charge. Let your servant die now in peace as you have promised, all right? That he's saying, I have now seen God. I've now seen your Savior, so I can die in peace. That he has peace upon his heart. I'd love to go further into that, but I'm not going to today, because that's actually the candle that we're going to light next week, and we're going to talk about peace. But real quick, let me say it this way. Outside of God, outside of a relationship with God, it is impossible to truly have peace. You will constantly be at war with God. Now, I want to make sure and challenge you, come back next week so we can find out what that peace is really like. But let's keep going. It says this, I have seen your salvation. I want you to just try to imagine what the scene was like. That you have this really old dude hanging out in the temple, which would be like hanging out at church, and he's got this baby in his hands, and he's saying, I'm seeing your salvation. Like, I'm looking at your salvation. And remember, if you're here last week, salvation, what it really means is rescue. So he's looking at this little baby, and he's saying, I'm seeing the one who is going to rescue us. And reality is that we all need to be rescued. And I don't think I need to challenge your thinking on that. I think we all get it. I think there's something inside our hearts that is looking for something more. You see, we need to be rescued because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's truth. That's from Scripture. But I think there's even more that we want to be rescued from. That we want to be rescued to a life worth living. That we want to be rescued to a life on purpose. That I think many of us are looking at our lives and we say, man, there's just something missing. And what it is God has put eternity on our hearts. He's woven it into our being. And that desire for more, what that is, it's God saying there's more of me that I want to do in you. There's more of me I want to do through you. So this idea of being salvation, it's Jesus saying, I want to rescue you from a life that has no purpose. I want to rescue you from a life of separation from me, and I want to send you to do more and be more. Let me keep going, though. He says, which you have prepared for all people. Here's the beauty, is that salvation, that rescuing, is for all people. That when Jesus came to this earth, he came for everyone. Too many times we think Jesus just came for the righteous, or Jesus just came for the religious, or Jesus just came for those who are doing everything right. I think so many times that we think that church is only for those who have it all figured out. Well, if you come to the Rock very long at all, you know that none of us have it all figured out. And we're all just a work in progress, right? That is what this church is built upon, is this idea that we are a come as you are environment, open door policy, come in. Because the gospel is for everyone. Which means it's for you if you have a broken heart and you're searching for love. Which means it's for you if you've been wrestling with sin and digging into sin. It means it's for you if you're going through a crisis in life. It's for Jesus, the way he showed it, is it was for the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and the notorious sinners. But it was also for the rich and the wealthy. It was for the politicians. It was for everyone. See, Jesus went to Joseph of Arimathea, who was a wealthy man. He went to Simon, who was a politician. He went to Nicodemus, who was wealthy and also a skeptic. That Jesus is for everyone. He's for all people, which means he's for us. Continuing on, it says, he is a light to reveal God to the nations. Other translations say it this way, a light to reveal God to the Gentiles. Gentiles isn't a word we use anymore, but what it simply meant back then was those who didn't know God. That there was the Jewish race, the Jewish people, and everybody else was a Gentile. And what Simeon is saying is Jesus is here, and he's here for all of those who are currently in the dark, who don't think that they can have a relationship with God. He's saying that he is the light of love to all people, and even though he's for all people, he's still for those who are for the Jewish people. He's still the glory of the people of Israel, meaning he is still the light for those who call themselves Christians, and he is also the light for those who are still in the dark. That God is for everyone. He is love. Another way I could say this is simply to quote the most famous verse in the Bible. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. See, that's John 3:16. And John 3:16, what it's doing there is just summing up what Simeon said. So love has arrived. You don't have to wait and wish on love, because love is here and love has a name, and his name is Jesus. The question today really is this. What will you do with love when you find it? What will you do with love when you find it? Many of us, well, I should say all of us, when we come face to face with love, we're either going to reject it or accept it. And that's what I'm really going to challenge you on over the next few minutes, is that if love has arrived in the name of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, what will you do with him? Will you reject him or will you accept him? Let's keep reading into Simeon's story. It says this, then Simeon blessed them and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very own soul. Do you see what Simeon's saying to Mary? He's saying, listen, that we're excited right now. This is awesome. You're feeling good about your child. But what I need you to know about your child is many are going to reject him. That many are going to fall on behalf of him. Others will rise, but many will fall. That the deepest thoughts of their hearts are going to be revealed. And a sword is actually going to pierce your very own soul. That what Simeon is saying is there's going to be many that reject Jesus. There are going to be many that reject his love. Why? Let's think about this for a second. Why would you possibly reject the love of Jesus? All right? I think we reject him because we don't know what to do with unconditional love. Like, we struggle with unconditional love. That we feel like love has to have strings attached. All you have to do with this is look every now and then at maybe a child who is in foster care, or a child who's going through adoption, all right? And I'm not saying every time, but occasionally you will see this, that when a child starts to get that unconditional love, they fight back a little bit. They're like, whoa, 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 why are you doing this? Why are you loving me this way? This doesn't make sense, all right? We also do it inside relationships, all right? guys, a lot of guys, we struggle with this, right? That you get inside of a relationship and all of a sudden there's some commitment in it and you're just like, whoa, whoa, I don't know. I don't think I can love forever. That big L word, I don't know. And we run away from it, right? We don't know what to do with unconditional love. And Jesus looks at us and he says, I love you unconditionally. That there's nothing you can do that would cause me to love you less. And there's nothing you can do that would cause me to love you more. I know that's foreign thinking to our thoughts, but that's what Jesus does, is he offers unconditional love. He loves each and every one of us that much. I think other times we reject it because it means that we'd have to change a worldview. When Jesus was on earth, everybody had this idea of what the Messiah would look like. Everybody had this idea of what the new king would look like, that he would free the Jews from all the people. They'd set up a big throne and the Jews would rule the world. And when Jesus came in, he said, nope, that's actually not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm setting you free from the penalty of sin, and I'm setting you free from the power of Satan. I'm giving you a life, but it's an eternal life. It's not one that is just for the town of Jerusalem. And what people did is they went, whoa, now you're changing my worldview, because that's not what my thought process was. And we do the same thing today. Because we think that we look at Jesus and we're like, I don't know if I like the worldview that Jesus is trying to get me to function in. And we reject him. Or we'll reject him because we're just not willing to change. Right? Like, it might be because we don't know how to respond to his love. It might be because, man, it's just a whole different way of thinking. Or it might be just because you know that if you were to respond to Christ, there'd be some changes that would come in your life. Because when Jesus comes into your life, he does work. The reason we say as a church, come as you are, but expect change, because he wants to do work in your life. We'll reject him because we don't know what to do with love. We'll reject him because it's a different kind of thinking, a different worldview. We'll reject him because we're not willing to make a change. And I want to challenge you today is don't reject him any longer, but make a change and accept him. Accept his unconditional love. Accept his way of thinking. Accept the change that he wants to bring into your life. All right? And that's what Anna did. Anna's a lady in the story, all right? There's this lady named Anna, and she's been a widow. She's been serving in the temple ever since she lost her husband, all right? Now, it says in Scripture that she was at least 84 years old. There's some theologians, when they look at the dates, they actually think that maybe she was over 100. All right. What we do know at a minimum is she was a very elderly lady working in the temple, and she'd been doing it for at least 60 years. She'd been serving in the temple ever since her husband had died. And that's where we see her come onto the scene. It says she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. That I want you to see in the text a couple different things. That you'll see it says that she was praising God, and then she began to talk about Jesus to everyone. Another way for me to explain Anna is to say that she worshiped fervently, that she gave generously, and that she loved ridiculously. When we accept Christ, these are things that should be able to be said about us, that we'll worship fervently. Again, think about Anna for a second. For all of her life, she's been hanging out in the temple worshiping God. She'd been worshiping, she'd been praying, she'd been fasting, she'd been waiting for love to arrive. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene, right? And when she took notice of Jesus, I don't imagine her going, oh, well, praise God. I don't imagine her going, oh, finally, that's awesome. You know what I imagine her doing? Excuse me if I can say it this way, Lou. I imagine she started dancing a little bit like you. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And I know some of you all, you ain't going to throw your hands in the air and wave them around like you don't care. But I bet Anna did that day. You know what I mean? I bet Anna was kicking a little bit. I bet Anna was a little excited because she'd been waiting on the Lord, and the Lord that she'd been worshiping, and now all of a sudden she sees him and she just worships. When you accept love, what you do is you worship that love fervently. Look at somebody who starts a date and starts to fall in love. Everything in their life becomes about that person they're dating, that person they're engaged to, right? Because they found something that matters. Do you realize when you accept Christ, what you're saying is, I found something that matters. And, oh, I just want to worship. I just want to worship. And I want to give. That Anna had given her entire life to Jesus. Even before Jesus had been born, she had given her entire life. She had been working in the temple, which meant she would have been serving in the temple, which meant she would have been cleaning in the temple, that she was taking care of everything that needed to happen in the temple. It was a way of her to give to God, all right? And this is what I believe. When you accept Christ, it will change the way that we give, all right? We're in the giving season. I think we all get that. Whether you come to church here or don't go to, or don't call the Rock home, maybe is a better way for me to say that, is that we all understand that we're in this giving season. And I would want to challenge each and every one of us in this giving season that we would give to God, that we would give generously to people, that we'd help people, but we would also give to God. Let me challenge you, whether you have faith or don't have faith, one of the best things you can do is give of your resources to God. Because he will bless you in return. I'm not saying he's going to give you dollar for dollar, all right? But he will bless you. And if you call the Rock home, then I want to challenge you to give to God through the Rock, all right? That if you call this place home, if this is a place where you regularly worship, then you should be giving to God through your church, all right? And when you're thinking about this holiday season and you're thinking about this idea of accepting Christ, then what I want to challenge you to do is if you don't give on a consistent basis, maybe make a decision today to start giving on a consistent basis. Maybe you do give on a consistent basis. I want to give you a challenge is as we're wrapping up the year, one, stay committed. Stay committed to your faithful giving. And then in addition to that, think about how can you finish the year and give God a generous gift. Because when we accept love, we should worship fervently, we should give generously, and lastly, we should love ridiculously. What did Anna do? She ran around the temple. And as she was running around the temple, she went to everybody she could find, and she's like, listen, the Messiah, he's here. Hey, Jeff, I just need you to know, he's here. He's actually right over there. Brandon, I want you to know that he's actually here, all right? I don't know if you guys have ever met Louise, but Louise comes to church here about every Sunday. She comes to the 9 o'clock hour. I don't know how old Louise is, but she's probably about the age of Anna. All right? And some of our prayer team, if you work at a door, you know Louise. Because when she comes in, she hugs you, doesn't she, Pat? Oh, she gives you a hug. And if you've ever listened to Louise, when she hugs you, she goes, oh, I've been worshiping Daddy Jesus all of my life. She'll always say, Daddy Jesus. But she wants everybody she comes in contact with to know the Jesus that she has met. Guys, listen. We are a church that says all the time, love God and love people because God matters and people matter. If you don't tell the people you come in contact with about Jesus Christ, you don't love people. You don't love people. You can say you love people. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're not willing to share that with others, then I don't think you really love them. Because you don't really care about their life, earthly life or eternal life. So I want to give a challenge. Let's love ridiculously by coming alongside of people and loving them and being there with them and helping them in whatever it is they're going through in life. But as you do that, be willing to open your mouth and tell them about the joy, the love, the hope, the peace that you have found in Christ. And we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you. We gave you cards today. You can use that as a way to enter into that conversation with somebody and say, hey, would you come to church with me? Will you come to church with me over the Christmas season? Will you come to church with me over Christmas Eve? Let me just make it real simple. That I love you enough that I'm willing to tell you the truth. That outside of Christ, you're not going to find joy. Outside of Christ, you're not going to find joy. You might get happy every now and then, but you won't find joy. But when you recognize the love of Christ, He can bring joy and hope and peace into your life. So as we move into a time of response, I want to challenge you to not reject the love of Jesus, but for each and every one of us to accept it. And if you're going to accept it today, well, that means one, you got to worship Him. You got to be willing to say that it's not about me, it's about you. And whether you're doing that by dancing and celebrating, or whether you're doing it by coming up and taking communion, and you're getting down on your knees and you're saying, Jesus, it's all about you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I want to worship you. That if you're going to respond to Christ and accept Him, then you need to give of your life and of your resources. Give to Him. Be generous. Maybe that's you for the first time ever opening up your phone, getting on the app and saying, Jesus, I want to give you a gift. Or doing so through the offering buckets and baskets we have around the room. Or maybe it's today you're saying, Jesus, because I'm accepting you, I want to love ridiculously. And as an act of love, maybe you're going to turn to the person who came to church with you. And you're going to say, I know you've been wrestling with Jesus for a while. How about today you surrender to Him? See, we're all face to face with the love of Jesus right now. And as we go into this time of response, here's the decision you're going to have to make. Am I going to enter in and accept and worship? Or am I going to reject and walk out? I want to challenge you. Don't run off to get your kids. Don't run off to the bathroom unless you're older than me or pregnant. Come face to face with Jesus and accept His love. And if you don't know how to do that, say a simple prayer. Jesus, I surrender. Come into my life. I'll be standing at the prayer corner. I'll be there. Some prayer counselors will be there. We'd love to talk to you further about that. If you need help saying that prayer and surrendering to Jesus. Maybe today's the day you're going to get baptized. I don't know. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray. And we're going to respond. Jesus, we come before you right now. And I ask, Jesus, that you would move and that you would move in a mighty way. Thank you for loving us with an unconditional love. Guys, God, help us to surrender to that. And as an act of worship, be willing to give and to love others and to love you. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All of those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.